Yardside Fellowship in Tampa that are gathered together. And it's been a great blessing. I was there a couple of weeks ago and going there a second time. This time was a lot better. It was not as cold, so my sermon was a little bit longer. I was like, it might be better to have a colder weather at this rate. But it was a great blessing to be there and worshiping with fellow believers and encouraging them. And it was a great joy to spend some time with them. So please pray for them. They're thinking about church planning. I went there saying, I want you to come OPC. Don't go different denomination. Come with us. And I was kind of trying to pull them through. But please keep them in your prayer. It's definitely a good group. And may the Lord bless them and what He will use them to do in the city. I think it's a city that needs the gospel. And may the Lord use that, those men and women. Tonight's text is from Genesis chapter 27. But we're going to read from Genesis chapter 26, verse 34, all the way to the end of Genesis chapter 27, verse 46. So it's a lot of verses, but I think it kind of puts together. And when we read it, it's really about marriage. I know it's weird because we don't normally look at verse chapter 27 as an idea of marriage, but it's how does Jacob get to Haran? How does he go back there? And it's kind of give a summary of, well, he's going there to get married. And the conflict begins actually Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. This is the word of the Lord. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and shall seem to be I shall seem to be mocking him, bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. His mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments from Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Then the skins of young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son, Esau?" And he answered, "I am." Then he said, bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see the smell of my son. He says, the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Verse 30, as soon as Isaac has finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it that hunted game and brought it to me, that I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants. And with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father has blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I'll send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day? Verse 46, Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, your God of blessing. Every blessing is poured out from you, both to the wicked and to the righteous. You pour your blessing, you pour your grace, for we do not deserve even the breath that we breathe, even the energy we have, even this moment, this second that we have here. You sustain us and you bless us with so much goodness, and yet we so often do not see how much of a blessing we have already received. Not only that, but you have sent your son as a true blessing to this world, that through his death and resurrection, we have true reconciliation with you, that we can come as a worshipers of God. And Lord, we are so eager to be in your presence, Lord, and to rejoice in your presence. Lord, it's better to be here in your presence. A day in the court of the Lord is greater. It's more, far more worthy than 1,000 years elsewhere, and we ask that this evening that your presence would fill us, that you would remind us of true blessing that is that we have in Christ, and encourage us and draw us to you. May your name be glorified this evening. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems to me the whole world is looking for a blessing. It seems everyone wants a blessing from somebody else. What I mean is this. Have you ever considered all the things that's going on with all the social justice or everything else in between, whether it be gender questions, gender dysphoria, or chaos, and wanting to be accepted and loved, wanting to change the law so that they can have a blessing of a nation, or they want their friends to accept them as they are, whatever that means. Have you ever considered there is a true, genuine longing that so many people have today, Christians and non-Christians, that wants to be accepted, that wants to be receive blessing from people? It's fascinating that as I have some interaction with gay community and people of that side, if we may even call them that, I hate the label because to me they're just human beings. But quite often as I interact with them, they really want to be accepted. They really want my blessing. It's really weird, but they really want blessing from you. Blessing from their parents. Blessing from the society. They really want to be blessed. If you just keep it in a more human and more personal level, if you actually interact with those individuals, they will say, I just want to be accepted. I just want to be myself, and you accept me. They will bless what I'm doing. Here is a question that always lingered in my mind as I come out of those interactions with some of those folks, always come out to say, why are they looking for my blessing? What is my blessing worth anyway? Who cares about my opinions? Like, I don't really care about anyone else's opinion, to be honest with you. I really don't, but they do, and they struggle so much with their identity, their feelings, and all these internal battles, and they're looking for that blessing. And quite often, we Christians do that too, don't we? In our practices, in our religious faith, and what we do, and we coming to church, and so many of our lives, it's really about approval and blessing from other people. There's certain longing, and we can kind of interact with that and say, oh, I understand what that feels like, what that is like. But what's interesting that I ponder, and quite often I think about, is why do they want blessings? Maybe they really want, what they're really longing for, what we are really longing for, is a blessing from God. But God will not give us blessing in our sin. So rather than looking for blessing from God, we replace that blessing from the creatures. Maybe that's really what's going on. Tonight's text tells us about true blessing and how a sinner may receive it. How undeserving people can receive it. And the fact of the matter is, it's the most normalizing statement, I think, here. It's talking about all of humanity and says, this is the only way that we can be blessed. There's no other way. There's no other way. Now, do you want to be blessed by the Lord? Mm-hmm. See, it's kind of tough to preach to a Presbyterian church. There's no response. Do you want to be blessed by the Lord? Sometimes it's more fun to preach to Pentecostals, I must say. Yeah, we want to be blessed. And I hope you're longing to be blessed. I hope you're here because you want to be blessed. What's the point of coming into the presence of the Lord if we're not blessed by the Lord himself? And I hope you're coming every time in the morning and evening, coming in the Lord's presence like this. You're saying, I want to be blessed. Lord, bless me. And I hope we come with that eagerness and desire that we may receive that benediction from the Lord. And here, the question is, how can a man be blessed by the Lord? The context here is quite fascinating, that as Isaac is kind of reenacting, his life is playing out the Abraham's life again. And Isaac's life is really a model. So both Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's life is a model to Israelites who are receiving this book, the first five books, the Pentateuch, as they're about to enter into the land of Canaan. As they're receiving this narrative, what they're supposed to see is they're supposed to see that their patriarchs, their fathers, including Joseph, went through the same thing that they are going through. So it's almost a repeat and cycle that you can see over and over. And scripture emphasizes, the way Hebrews emphasize something is by repetition. You say the same story with a different character, and there's different events, and God unfolds their lives in such a way that there's an overlap, if you have not already noticed. And in that overlap, you're supposed to see, oh, this is how God blesses. This is how God works. This is how he brings his people to himself. This is how God delivers. This is what God's redemption looks like and smells like and tastes like. It's not merely a proposition that God saves, but this is how this God saves. This is how he shows his love, and this is how he blesses. And the whole point of the gospel here in the book of Genesis really is about that God is willing and loving and wanting to bless his creatures. When God created the heavens and the earth and he gave Adam and Eve all the fruit of the garden that you may eat, what's the point of it? He wants to bless his creatures. God is God who wants to bless. The problem is we hid away his hand and says, I don't want your blessing. I don't want your blessing in your terms, but I want blessings in my terms, my way, and my blessing and how I want it. Kind of sounds like teenagers. And that's the essence of the struggle here. And God, even though man has fallen away from grace, even though man has fallen away from the presence of the Lord, what is going on? God says, I'm going to bless you. So he comes to Abraham in chapter 12, says, I will bless you and I'll bless those who bless you. You'll be blessing to the nations. And that promise is repeated over and over with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and the rest of the Israelites. And as Israelites are about to enter into the land of promise, they're to recognize God is going to bless them, not because they deserve it, but because God wants to use them as a means of grace, means of a blessing to the world, to the nations. So here, you can see a glimpse of that reenacting. So here, Isaac is now old. But before that, before he became old, which is parallel to Abraham, really, but before he gets old, there is this conflict in chapter 26, verse 34 and following, is about his son Esau marrying a Hittite woman. That becomes a great conflict for them. Because Abraham was looking for a wife for Isaac from his own kinsman. So he went through all this trouble of going back to Haran and securing a woman for Isaac and bring her, and that he may be married to this woman of blessing. And that conflict arises when they realized Esau, their firstborn son, who not only who gave up his birthright, now he married a non-Jew, if I may say it that way, non-Hebrew person, an uncircumcised individual, a person who does not belong to the Lord. And that has become a made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. It became such a controversy for those two. They may never have said a word to Esau. I think they probably didn't say anything because Esau later realizes, oh, they didn't want me to marry these Hittites or these people here. So he goes and finds Ishmaelite and marries her. But it becomes a bitter thing for Isaac and Rebekah. And in midst of it, now Isaac is getting old and he's ready to pour that blessing. We looked at last week that Isaac has now become a man who is now blessed one. And as the one who's now been blessed by the Lord, as the blessing of God is being fulfilled in his life, he is now a man who can bless his children. He has made a name for himself in that way, as he has now become a king of his own right. That as he is making covenant with this kingdom, Gerar, in chapter 26, verse 26 and following, Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his people, and they make a covenant over there. And within that covenant act, Isaac is now he is now grown and matured, which I'm sure every father like to see their child, their son to be grown and mature and ready to be a man. And here, this man is now ready to bless his own children. Matter of fact, he says, I'm going to bless only one of my child. Kind of messed up, don't you think? That he says, the way I'm going to bless is one of my two sons. Now to us, that sounds kind of mean. Why couldn't he distribute it? But there is a certain push in Book of Genesis about that there are always these two sides, and God always seems to choose one. And we looked at this 2-3 weeks ago regarding God's election. God is always choosing one or the other. It's Abel or Cain or Abel. It's one or the other, right? Abraham and Lot, one or the other. God is choosing one over the other. And that elective purposes of God is unfolding right here before your eyes. And as Rebecca has heard from God, as the twins were in her womb, God already has elected one over the other. It was the younger one over the older one. And that is becoming more true as the time is progressing, as history is moving forward. And here we found last time that it is Jacob who takes that birthright. And over here, he wants that blessing. He says, I want to be blessed. And of course, Isaac has his own favorite son, and he wants to bless his favorite son, which is Esau. Now, here's the thing. Esau, if you just take out the scripture and all the ways God's moving, Esau is the man that if you're a father, you would bless. He's a guy with a Harley Davidson. He's a guy with a shotgun. He's a guy who's out there hunting with you. He's a man's man. He's a son. He's a father's son, right? He's a guy that you says, I'm proud of my son. Look what he hunts. Look at this. That's the son. And then there's Joseph. You know, he's smooth man. I find that term such a funny term. He's a smooth man. He stays in the house. He cooks. You know, that's what he does for a hobby. No father in this context is going to say, I'm proud of my son. He's such a good cook. That is just not going to fly. You may fly now if you're a good cook and you make a lot of money. But that's not how he flew. So for Isaac, he said, this is the son I'm going to bless. Why would I bless this one? He's a wimpy little kid. Who knows when he's going to pass? I'm going to give it to the stronger gene. I'm going to make my family. This is the one who's going to preserve the line. This is the one who's going to conquer the enemy. This is the one who's going to protect. This is the one who's going to take care of me when I retire. And this is it. I'm going to invest all of my assets here. Makes a reasonable choice, don't you think? If you ask me, I'll choose this one over the other one. And that's what Isaac decided to do. And he calls his son and says, I'm going to bless you. I'm ready to die, even though he lives way longer after this. He says, I'm going to die soon. Almost like Abraham's life, really. And he says, I'm going to bless you. So this is what I want you to do, Esau. He's kind of old. He can barely see. And he says, Esau, this is what I want you to do, son. I want you to go and hunt me a game. And I'm going to eat it. I'm going to enjoy it. And once I finish eating it, my heart is going to rejoice in what you have done. And I'm going to bless you with the greatest blessing that I can give you. And Esau goes, okay, dad. So he goes out. He's running wild. He says, yes, I'm going to be blessed. I lost my birthright, but this one's mine. And he's out there hunting. And I imagine him just going wild. He's like, oh, he's getting his whole crew over. And he's like, we got to get my dad something good. They're out there hunting, having his time of his life. But of course, there was a problem. That there is his wife who had a different plan, who heard from God, God's promises, that God has prophesied to Rebekah and saying, I am going to make the younger son greater than the older one. Which makes absolutely no sense. But she understood it. She trusted that statement from God. And she said, I got to figure out a way to get my son blessed. So she makes a plan. Pretty smart. I mean, she came up like this. You know, she's so smart, so sharp. And she says, this is what I'm going to do. Calls Jacob. Jacob, come over here. We got to talk. Yes, mommy. Of course. You know, it's a good mama's boy. And she tells him, hey, I want you to go and bring me two goats. I'll cut it up. I'll cook it. I'll prepare everything. And all you have to do is take this goat, take it to your dad, and act like you're Esau. And of course, Jacob goes, I'm sure his voice was already different, you know? It's like, really? I don't think I can do that. Esau's voice is probably like, I'm not really good at voices. But I think Dad's going to notice. I don't know. I think Dad's going to notice that I'm not Esau. What if he touches me? I don't know. I'm scared. What if he curses me? Excuse me. And of course, Jacob's kind of like worried. And Rebecca is so wise. She knows what to do. He says, she cuts the skin and shows it to him. And says, see this skin? Doesn't this look like Esau? I don't know what kind of man Esau was. But Esau was like a goat, really, right? I don't know if you've ever seen goat furs, but they're pretty furry. And says, touch this. He says, oh, it feels like Esau. Oh, yay. I don't know. I'm just imagining, right? But they put on this goat, and then she brings his laundry. Which I find so funny that she's like, she brings the best clothes that he wore that she didn't wash yet and puts it on him and says, go in there. And I just imagine Jacob, yeah, he's devious one and he's really getting it from his mom some ways. He's pretty smart. And he goes in and you can kind of hear him trembling as he enters. And this is a question his father, this is the way it goes. Look at this, verse 18. So he went into his father and said, my father. And then Isaac says, here I am. And he has this question. He says, who are you, my son? From the voice, he recognized something ain't right. And Jacob said to him, I'm Esau, your firstborn son. I gotta stop doing this. This is on the internet. I shouldn't do this. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found this so quickly? See, what's going on here is Isaac is questioning what's right in front of him. You see, he's blind. He can't really see. He maybe kind of see little glimmers, but he can't really tell. And all he's using all of his senses and hears, and the voice doesn't sound right. And he's like, I didn't tell anyone except Esau. So he's thinking, he's figuring things out. So he gives him a couple tests. He's testing him. He said, come over here. Let me touch your hand. Oh, that's Esau. He smells him. Oh, that's Esau. So until then, he's asking this question. Who are you really, Esau? Who are you? And this question is repeated over and over and over. And it's quite fascinating that as he is questioning Jacob, whether he is Esau or not, after he eats, he does and he says, I am ready to bless you. Look at verse 22. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. Verse 24. And he said, this is the last question he asked. Are you really my son Esau? He's questioning this just throughout this whole time. And he answered, I am. And now he eats, and then he is ready to bless. In verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garment and blessed him. So there's the last question he's asking over and over. Are you Esau? Are you Esau? Are you Esau? And he's using all of his senses, his ears, his hands, his sense of smell and taste. And he says, you must be. And he is ready to bless him. And he blesses him with this great and grand blessing. He says, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. So there is a God's blessing from the things of the land, that the dew and the fatness of the earth and the grain and wine, the what land can provide him, he gives him that blessing. And verse 29, let the people serve you and the nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. So there is a blessing of land and now a blessing of his authority and subjection over other nations. He will rule over others. There is this great blessing. And then here is the kicker. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. That's the same blessing that Almighty God gave to Abraham and to Isaac. And now he's ready to give that blessing, the same blessing now, to Jacob. It's a kingdom transfer. and say, you are the heir of the new kingdom of God. It's a profound thing. If you really think about it, because Jacob did absolutely nothing to receive this blessing. He didn't even cook. I mean, he just went in and brought the goats. I mean, bringing goats is a pretty hard task. It really is. Goats are annoying. I'm sure he's just dragging them, kicking them, just bring those two. She prepared everything, cooking and cutting and cleaning and all the, you know, taking all this out and gives me all the ideas and how to do. He really didn't do anything. He says, yes, mother, yes, mother, and yes, mother. And that's all he did. And he is now blessed, and now he is, you can see him kind of running away. I always imagine there's a tent, and he runs out of the tent, and then his brother just runs right in and gets off his horse. I imagine that he has a horse. Gets off his horse. He's like, I'm ready. Yeah. He brings this thing and brings it in and says, father, with this manly voice, hairy man, father, bless me. And Isaac goes, huh? Who are you? And then Isaac's response here is fascinating. He says, I don't have any more blessings for you. I gave all of the blessings that I can give already to the man who came before you. And what's fascinating in the response of Isaac is simply this. He says, this is what he says, verse 37. Behold, I have made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants. And with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? He has no blessing whatsoever left for his other son. Now you look at that and you may say, why not? Why not? What kind of father decides, I'm not going to bless one of my sons when I have two? And that is supposed to kind of make us cringe here, I think. That as we were receiving this, well, Isaac could have kind of divided the blessings and gave them to two. But the way God is operating here is saying, God is really saying a narrative here. God is really telling a story here, isn't he? God is really moving this narrative here and says, no, there's only one son that will be blessed. Only one son will receive blessing. The other will not. And that is something so difficult for us to accept. That's something so difficult for the world to accept, because we want the world to be fair. But think for a moment here. Maybe the fact that we feel like we deserve blessing, maybe the fact that Jacob and Esau felt like they deserve blessing from their own father, maybe that presupposition was the problem. Maybe what the way we're supposed to think about it is, we don't deserve blessing. Maybe the way you're supposed to look at it is, none of them deserved blessing. Have you not heard? Have you not read Genesis thus far? None of these men deserve blessing. Look at Abraham. He was the blessed one, and yet, look what a fool he was in so many ways. I mean, he sold his wife. He doesn't deserve no blessing. What about Isaac? Isaac does exactly the same thing. The apple does not fall far from the tree. See, what Israel, what God is saying to the Israelites as they're hearing this story is not to say, how come God didn't bless everyone? But really the question is, why should God bless anyone? Why should he bless anyone? If we look at Genesis with this man-centered understanding, we'll say, well, shouldn't God bless everyone? But if you look at it in terms of God as the one who is good and man as the one who has rejected God, then no man deserves God's blessing. No man deserves God's blessing but curse. It is difficult to look at the scripture that way, but I think the way Genesis portraying and pushing the narrative is for us to really consider that there is one blessing, and the way Jacob received that blessing is not because he was so good. If you look at it in every way, Jacob is the deceiver. Matter of fact, it is Isaac who says, was he not the deceiver? Was he not like his name? And he has done this against you. He has cheated you. And what's really fascinating for Isaac to do here, I think a good father, normally, if your son does this, normally, right? For any good parents, if your younger son or even older son does something against their brother, what would you do as a parent? Would you go, it's okay? No, normally a good father would say, all right, son, we have to have talk. You come into my room and we're going to have a conversation. He's going to call you by your full name and say some harsh things. If it was back in the day, he may pull out his belt. My mother used to hit me a lot, so I know what that feels like. It's not pleasant, but it is a discipline I deserved every single time. But that's not how Isaac responds. Look at Isaac's response when he realizes that it is Jacob who stole it. It says in chapter 27, verse 33, and this is very fascinating, because this is mentioned in Hebrews 11, which we're going to turn in a little bit. It says this: then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate all before you came. I have blessed him. And then this is what he says. He says, yes, and he shall be blessed. He's being a bad dad, basically. He says, after all of these events unfolding before his blind eyes, though he couldn't see with his own eyes, but he could see with faith, something deeper. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you turn there with me, poor Isaac only gets one verse. Abraham gets like 10 verses here. Isaac gets one verse. Hebrews chapter 11 is a narrative about faith, how these men of the Old Testament does a great act by their faith, by their trusting in the promises of God. And look at it in chapter 11, verse 20. This is what he says about Isaac. He says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Isaac could have retrieved that and says, let me cancel that and let me redo this. Let me put it right. Let me fix this problem here. But somewhere, though he's blind with his physical eyes, he saw with his spiritual eyes that this is not some happenstance. This is not something just happened. In midst of what man has meant for evil, God is doing something profound. He's recognizing he's an agent, he's a conduit of a blessing, that as he has received the blessing from God and he's planning to pour that blessing upon his children, to transfer the kingdom promises to his child, to his next heir, if I may call it, he recognizes this is God's work. And he says, yes, and he shall be blessed. It's profound, isn't it? That Isaac, in all of his mistakes, in all the ways he was testing, you know, he was questioning, is this really Esau? Is this really Esau? Is this really Esau? And he was questioning all of his senses and all the ways he's thinking. He's like, something's not right. His voice is not right. Something just ain't right. The timing is not right. Something is not right. He's feeling like something is not right the whole time. And he blesses anyways. And the final conclusion he comes is, God is doing something amazing. At one point he says, this is how God blesses. I don't know what it is that struck him, but he recognized in his wisdom, in all of his years of walking with God, in all the ways it was not recorded in the scriptures, in all the ways God has blessed him throughout the years and broke him down and draw him to himself and transform his life with his spirit working in him. And he recognized something in faith and says, aha, I was blind. I was truly not understanding the will of God. And at this particular moment, he understood, yes, It is Jacob that is to be blessed, not Esau. I think that is a very profound thing, isn't it? It means sometimes, just one form of application for us, is we think this is our blessing, when in reality, this is our blessing. Sometimes we don't realize what true blessing is. We don't realize the blessings that God has already poured out upon us. All the blessings that God is already doing in us, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of all the ways you're looking and asking God to bless you in all of your petitions. I'm certain that many of you and all of you in this room has a prayer, whether for yourself or your friends or your family or your children or your parents. You have a prayer request that you're pleading and saying, Lord, bless this. Won't you bless this? Won't you bless this? And you're seeking God's blessing. Or maybe you're just like Isaac, unable to see the way God is blessing. And the most profound thing as God is unfolding this narrative is this, that God is saying there is only one blessing, and that one blessing is given to one son, and through that one son that the nations will be blessed, and that through that one son nations will be cursed. Through that one son, he is saying, as God is proclaiming through this act, that through one son, the blessing will come. You'll see throughout rest of the text here about this blessing giving. And I imagine in Genesis chapter 49, when Jacob is now ready to give his blessing to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he's switching his hands and say, this one, the younger one, will be greater than the older one. And I imagine he's thinking about this promises of God, how God works mysteriously, unlike the way we want it to be done. But God blesses in such a way, it's most unexpected, unheard of, and unthought of. But one thing that's for sure is this, God chooses to bless through one son. And that son is son of Jacob. That son is son of David. That son is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one son who has done everything, unlike Jacob. You see, Jacob does not deserve this blessing. You and I, we do not deserve such blessing. We have done nothing to deserve it. But there is one son who deserves every bit of blessing, isn't it? He's the one who fought the fight. He's the one who won the battle. He's the one who crushed the head of the serpent. He's the one who have acquired from God Almighty the rightful blessing because he gave him full obedience even to die on the cross. He earned every bit of that blessing from his father. It's that one son, and through that one son and that one son alone, God chooses to bless us. So Ephesians chapter 1 tells us we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It is because all the benefits that Christ has won, the adoption, the justification, adoption, sanctification, the glorification, all of the benefits that Christ has won for you and I, and as he's pouring that upon us, it is through that one son you can be justified. It's through that one son you can be adopted. It's through that one son you can be sanctified. It's through that one son you can be glorified. It's through that one son you can enter the presence of God and receive the true benediction, the very presence of the Creator God, and dwell in his presence and rejoice in the greatest blessing and enjoy him forever. There's one son and one blessing of the presence of God that's promised to you this evening. This is the greatest blessing. Yeah, there are many blessings of health and good, beautiful marriages and children, but even greater blessing is to be in the presence of the Lord all the days of our lives. Are we looking for that blessing? The beautiful thing is, we have it in the Son, that one Son. Tonight, my invitation to you as the gospel is proclaimed to you is this: will you come to the one Son and receive that blessing? Will you come and put your trust and life before his feet and receive and drink from him that life that you may rejoice in who he is and what he has done for you? And for those of us who have been blessed, rejoice in that. You know, one thing that I want to encourage everyone here is you are blessed, though you may not feel like it. Though you may not see it, we're so blessed in the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you have given us the greatest blessing. Lord, we thank you that through your son, we are blessed. Lord, there's nothing we can do to deserve this blessing, but it's only the finished work of Christ, only through his obedience and his righteousness, only through his sacrifice that we can come into your presence, not as the enemies of God, not as the cursed ones, but Lord, though too, as the blessed ones who can come and commune with you. We ask that this evening that you would bless us, and as you send us out, may we recognize the blessing and may we rejoice in you. May we rejoice in all the ways we are blessed, and remind us that your blessing, your ways are higher than our ways. May we praise you and glorify your name. Lord, as we bring our offering, our tithes and offerings to you, as you have already blessed us with material goods, may it be a sign and token of our rejoicing in all the blessing, all the ways you have given to us. Lord, won't you use it to be a blessing to this dying world? Won't you use it to bless those who are in church, who are struggling financially and various other means, and also to bring and share the gospel to this place? Oh Lord, we thank you for all the ways you have blessed us. May your name be glorified. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last hymn is asking the Lord to send us with a great blessing. Benediction.